Well, you got a little preaching in you tonight? Or they shout you out? Amen. If we stand together, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're so glad to have Sister Lexi's mother, Sister Razor here, and looks like B.B. Clark with them. We're so glad y'all are here tonight. Amen. Amen. And then Sister Floyd here with the Browns. And yeah. Nick and Natalie. Amen. So good to see my friends. And then for the Michael Winningham. Amen. Oh, Jesus. Amen. We're so glad for everybody that's joined us. Please remember to keep in prayer all those that are traveling, those that are sick, working, so many things. Our pastor preaching in Mississippi this weekend. Amen. I give honor to him. Amen. And if you're sitting on that pew looking at me right now and you wish that he was standing here instead of me, don't worry. Me and you're in that together. Amen. I wish I was on a pew and he was standing here. Amen. But you know, let's have church. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee. Everybody say, he humbled thee. Have you ever heard anybody preach this passage? Amen. And suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only. By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. I want to preach tonight part 2 of He Humbled Thee. Amen. I feel like the Lord took us to the depths this morning of this passage. And there was a lot of ground that I felt like before I ever stepped to this pulpit this morning that I would not make it to cover. And I just feel in the Holy Ghost to continue, and maybe, just maybe, before it's over with, somebody's going to receive a miracle. Amen. Why don't we lift up our hands right now and let's pray that the Lord would have his perfect way in the remainder of this sermon. Would you let the Holy Ghost flow right now? The name of Jesus. Amen. Everybody shout the name that's above every other name. Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. We went through this morning how the children of Israel that came out of Egypt rejected the promise at the verge of the promised land. How God turned them back into the wilderness to wander for 40 years, a year for a day, that they spied out the land of Canaan. And how the children, those under the age of 20, would be the ones through the 40 years in the wilderness that would go into the promised land. And the Bible, this is in the book of Deuteronomy, which is kind of the final commandments of Moses to the people of Israel. And he begins to tell them, you got to remember the way that the Lord led you through the wilderness. And he did it not without purpose. We went through this morning. It's just a brief recap, and then we're moving forward to uncharted territory. Amen. It was not without purpose, but he did it to humble them. Now, the word humble there in the Hebrew is ana, which means to afflict as a discipline. Everybody say discipline. Okay, I heard some kids saying discipline. Praise the Lord. We're going to get to y'all here in just a second. Amen. But you have to understand, I spoke with Brother Eric Flynn after service, and I'm going to butcher what he said, but he said something to the akin of, if more people dove into the Word the way that we do and really looked at what God was doing and how he felt and why he was doing it, he said, I feel like more people from without would be accepting of the Word of God. Yeah. As, you know, a lot of people just hear, well, they were bad, and so God made them wander in a wilderness. Well, there was a purpose. And you got to understand, God didn't do it because he hated them. As a matter of fact, even the generation that he intended to kill in the wilderness, he took them to conquer the kingdoms of Og and Sihon, and the land was so good where he took them that the 2.5 tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, they stayed there in that land on the east side of Jordan. And so the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 32, this, I just want to give you an insight of how the Lord felt about these people, although they felt like they, well, the Bible says they were in the waste, howling wilderness. Amen. The Bible says, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. And so this is not just some austere, mean deity cracking the whip over the back of people who failed to fulfill his plan. But the portrait painted here is as a loving and nourishing mother that literally takes and cares for its children as they go through the tough times in their lives. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's dive into some psychology. Okay. Now, just so you know, this did not come out of a book. Somebody may have wrote it. I don't know. Somebody may agree with me. A lot of people may disagree with me. But the Bible is the Bible. And this is my personal opinion and belief, okay? I do not believe that a human has the capacity to self-discipline without having experienced external discipline. Amen. Okay? So here we go. I believe the purpose and intention of every parent is to raise respectable children into respectable, self-disciplined, responsible adults. Amen. But it is a foolish thought to think that your children will have the capacity to discipline themselves if you never discipline them. Amen. Well, let's put some Bible on it because you ain't running the aisles yet. Amen. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Amen. It's tangled, it's wrapped up and tied up and tightened into the heart of a child. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Amen. If you don't want to raise a fool, a foolish adult, then you take the rod of correction and you drive foolishness from them when they're a child. Amen. Well, glory. Let's slow down for just a little bit. because the kids look like they're getting scared. Amen. They wish they'd have shouted a little harder. Amen. You cannot expect to teach a child to control itself without exemplifying self-control in you. Amen. Discipline is absolutely biblical, but you need to do it while you're still in your right mind. Amen. If you're so far off your rocker because you're so mad at them that you're going to exemplify lack of discipline while disciplining, then you need a prayer meeting and you need to calm down before you inflict any discipline. Amen. Because chances are they'll learn as much from how you do it as what you do. Oh, God, help us. Amen. And so we have to, which I don't have kids, but I'll tell you what, I was raised, amen, by some parents that were so faithful. What a word. Faithful in their discipline. Amen. Amen. What does that mean? That means I got the same consequence for the same action every single time. Do you know how confusing it is to your kids when they get a spanking for doing something one time and nothing happens the next time? And then they get a spanking the next time. And then the next two times, it's like you don't care. And then they get a spanking. There's no consistency or stability about that. Amen. And what you have to understand, I'll just go ahead and tell you. I didn't always do right. I know y'all can't believe that. I deserve some of the spankings I got. Amen. And I know that's hard to fathom, but the fact of the matter is that, you know what? There was a comfort and a security in knowing my parents aren't going to let me go so far that God won't bring me back. And my parents aren't just going to stand idly by while I destroy my life. Well, let's go back to the word. Proverbs chapter 23, withhold not correction from the child. That's not a suggestion, it's a commandment. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. There is spiritual implication to natural discipline. Oh, amen. Let's go through some principles here. The Apostle John wrote to the church in his epistles, he said, how can you say you love God and you hate your brother? In essence, the principle is you cannot function, fathom, you cannot process through something invisible that you cannot apply to the visible. If you hate your brother who you see, if you can't love your brother who you can see, how can you possibly love God who you can't see? Now let's apply that principle. Let's apply it a couple different ways. Okay, for the me and Jesus got our own things going, people. How can you submit to Jesus, whom you have never seen, without submitting to a pastor that you can see? How can you discipline yourself to a God whom you cannot see if you cannot discipline yourself in the things that you can see? Spiritual implications of natural things. Amen. Do you know why I understand consequence on a spiritual level? It's because I was taught consequence on a natural level. Amen. Why do I believe, if I overstep the boundaries of the Word of God, that in the invisible, intangible spiritual world, I will receive a whipping? It's because when I overstep boundaries in the natural, tangible, physical world, I received a whipping. Oh, God. Bishop Holmes used to say, this is get you to heaven kind of preaching. Yeah. Amen. This may not pique your theological interest, but if you'll get a hold of the Word of God, this will help you make it to heaven. This will help your babies make it to heaven. In the name of Jesus. Okay, so we talked about it in the natural. Now let's talk about it in the spiritual. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Honey, if you love those babies, you better spank those babies. You better make them mine. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. I feel so many things in this building right now. Amen. Amen. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost and absolute despair. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost helping me and every devil standing against me. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son that he receiveth. I'm telling you, you got to learn to take correction in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. You've heard me say it from this pulpit with this microphone, but I'm so thankful for every time I wasn't living right and I walked into the church and the man of God started preaching straight down my alley and I couldn't wait for him to quit so that I could run to the altar. Honey, that'll save your soul. Come on, I know that it's happening all over Pentecost where they're coming in with a pretty sermon and they're tickling people's ears. I'm afraid they're giving them a ticket straight to hell. God, give me a preacher that when I'm not doing right, he'll... Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. I want to encourage you tonight. When you come in and things aren't right in your life and your pastor starts walking right down your alley, don't let your hackles get up and all raised. Don't let yourself get in a bad spirit. You better thank God for talking to you. Amen. I heard a story. And many of you know Brother Talbert. He's a prophet. I mean, on the level. Amen. And he was going to preach in a church, and the drummer wasn't living right. So he decided he wasn't going to come to church. Because he knew when he got there, the prophet was going to get him. Oh, God bless Brother Talbert. Amen. Say a prayer for Brother Talbert when you pray tomorrow. Amen. Oh, Jesus. He got to that church. There was another boy on the drums. He walks to the pastor. He said, where's Brother so-and-so? He said, oh, I don't know. And he said, call him and tell him I know exactly why he's not at church. And he began to read his mail and said, tell him to get here. Well, I don't know about being that confrontational. That's probably the reason that boy is saved today. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible talked about in the last days they wouldn't be able to endure sound doctrine. Amen. God, don't ever let this be a church where when the word of God starts getting against your flesh, that you get all offended about it. No, you better thank God that the word is coming to you. Let me tell you, it's not a scary thing when the man of God preaches what you're living. It's a scary thing when you're living it and God quits speaking to you about it. Amen. Brother Carl and Sister Patricia, I'm so glad to see y'all here. I love y'all so much. Sister Donna, I love you. Amen. I think y'all were at the prayer meeting on the Monday night. We were praying in Amity. And, you know, not all prayer meetings are created equal. And it was all right. Most of us were tired. Amen. We're human. Prayer was all right. And we were coming in on the close of prayer meeting. And Sister Amanda Stroud, the Holy Ghost starts moving on her. All of a sudden, she jumps up. And she said, I just feel the Lord speaking to us. She said, the Lord is saying, is that all you've got? Well, you're talking about taking a prayer meeting to another level. Amen. Before you cringe too hard, I told a friend of mine that. And he said, oh, bro, God said that to your church? I said, brother, I don't care what God says to my church. As long as he's still talking to my church. Come on, you got to learn to take correction in the Holy Ghost. Come on. You've not made it to heaven yet. You've not been glorified yet. You're still walking in human flesh. You're going to have bad days. You better thank God when he gets down to where you're living and starts correcting things in your life. Amen. Amen. Why? Because whom he loves, he chastens. He quits talking to you. If you're backsliding and nobody knows about it, and the word keeps finding you, you better know God still loves you. Don't you ever let it enter into your mind, well, I wish they'd just get off my case. Somebody must have told them what. No, no. You better be terrified. If you ain't living right and you ain't hearing it preached over this pulpit. I'm hung up right now. Amen. Oh, God, help me right now. Amen. The Bible says in Proverbs 13, he that spareth his rod hateth his son.
That's right.
Amen. Did you catch that? He that spareth his rod, he that withholds the rod, hates the child. Oh, Jesus. That's why David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go any further tonight, but I'm just stuck here in the Holy Ghost. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know hardly any. I'm not on social media. I don't have a whole lot of friends. I don't hang out a whole lot. I'm kind of a recluse. And I don't know what you're going through, but God knows what you're going through. But this I know, if God is speaking to you, even if it hurts, you better thank God. And if you trade in your peace. piece of this body. If you say, well, I just don't like the way they always preach about what I'm doing, I think I'm going to go somewhere where they take it easier on me. You're trading in your ticket to heaven, honey. You better stay right where God is speaking to you. Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh God. Jesus would say, blessed is he who is not offended in me. Amen. Blessed is he who is not offended in me. Blessed. It's a blessing when you don't allow yourself to get offended. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost trying to minister to people in this house right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I don't know why I keep feeling what I'm feeling. Amen. Maybe you've been dabbling in the idea of possibly going somewhere else where maybe you think it'll be easier on you. I'm here to tell you, if you go somewhere that's easy on your flesh, it's going to be hard on your eternity. You better stay where you can be saved. Come on, right now, I'm pulling somebody out of hell with the word of God. You better make up in your mind. I'm staying where you're speaking to me, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, maybe you get it a little twisted. I don't preach based off of observation. I preach based off of inspiration. Amen. I tell you how I do it. I get underneath the pew, and what I hear under the pew, I speak from the pulpit, and your pastor does the same thing. I rebuke every lie from hell that's been telling you the pastor's picking on you, and the pulpit... I feel the fear of the Holy Ghost in this place right now. Amen. Somebody needs to make up in your mind. I'm staying right here. I'm putting my roots down. Preach to me, Pastor. Preach to me, Pastor. In the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, you have a watchman on the wall in this church. Amen. That means he sees things you don't see. Well, I just don't see why he's always preaching that. Well, he sees why he's preaching it, and he's trying to save your soul. Spirit of the prophet right now in this house. Amen. There's people in this house, I know I'm treading, but there's people in this house, you've been struggling with standards, and you've been struggling with things that's preached from this pulpit. Amen. I'm here to tell you, if God placed you in this body, you better stick to this body. Hallelujah. Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Amen. Amen. I rebuke the lie that the reason you're being held here is because this church needs your money. That's hogwash. God provided for this church from an incarcerated prisoner. Come on. Come on. This church. This is God's church. This ain't Brother Moe's church. This is God's church. He don't need your money. He don't need your talent. You need his salvation. Amen. You better get it out of your spirit that you're the best thing that ever happened to this church. This church, this spirit is the best thing that ever happened to you. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. Having itching ears. Come on, teacher. Tell me something that's going to feel good. Get that junk out of your spirit. Come on, preacher. Tell me what's going to save me. I feel the fear of God in this house right now. The name of Jesus. It's time for us to get some humility in our spirits toward the things of God. Amen. Amen. This is not the day that we need canned sermons and canned church services and canned moves of God. Come on. Amen. Amen. This is not the hour for you to come in and try to put pressure on the preacher about what he's preaching and try to put pressure on the preacher about the line that he's drawn in the sand. If there's ever been a day that you should be thankful that God put you in a church. Amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You better thank God for the standard. And you better thank God for the boldness of your pastor to hold the line. If there's ever been a day for you to support a pastor that'll hold a line, it's today. It's in this hour. It's in this culture. It's in this society. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. And I know we're walking in troubled waters right now just by this word in this atmosphere of Christianity. But I'm telling you, you better not start coming against the pastor when he starts preaching a standard that makes a clear distinction between male and female. Amen. If you don't think that mess that's out there can creep its way into here. Amen. I'm just going to tell you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. And I promise, this is not what I intended to preach, and I'm not just trying to be controversial. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. I've tried to preach every way around it that I could over the past probably 5 to 7 minutes, but it won't leave me. Amen. There's people in this church right now, and you're struggling in your spirit about the stance that our pastor made on leggings on girls. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, you better get thankful. You better get thankful. I bet you nobody thought when women started wearing pants that there would be men wearing dresses and wanting to go to the women's bathroom. But it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. You got to understand. The Bible says God sees the end from the beginning. And then he puts a watchman on a wall. He elevates him with vision. And you may not understand why he's preaching the beginning, but you got to understand he can see the end. That's why you just need to be thankful. Number one, be thankful he didn't call you to be the pastor. Because it's not easy to deal with the beginning knowing that people can't see the end. You have to be so careful with emotions and perceptions and feelings. And your pastor loves you. And he wants you to make it to heaven. And so he... Oh, God. God. I'm telling you, there's times. There's times I've preached in this building. In this building. And I've gotten in the car after it. Oh, I've been like, oh, I was cringing when you was preaching. Well, I was cringing too. She's probably cringing right now. Amen. It's not easy. And you know what? That's why a hireling won't do it. Hireling will see the wolf coming. And he'll run for his own life. A shepherd says, no. I'll stand here and fight the wolf for you. I'll stand here and fight the lion for you. I'll stand here and fight the bear for you. Come on, I'm not trying to get your sympathy. But I'll tell you right now. I'll walk out of this pulpit tonight. And you'll go home and go to bed. And I'll be the one fighting the spirit that I came against tonight. I don't need your pat on the back, but I'm just telling you how it works. And your pastor does it service after service after service.
Oh, God, help me right now.
God forbid he's fighting the spirit that's trying to destroy you and you for what he preached. Get on board with what the man of God is trying to do. Oh, God. If pastor's watching right now, he's cringing. Amen. But I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. And we're going to deal with some things in the spirit. Amen. God forbid that you badger the spirit of your pastor when he's fighting spirits that are trying to destroy you. And he's not doing it for his sake. This is stuff he's already conquered in his life. He's conquered it in his family. And now he's fighting it for your family. Don't fight against the man of God. Come on, there's something that just broke in the spirit right then. I pray there would be a spirit come upon the families of this church. Come on, Daddy. When pastor preaches, let there be a spirit on you that says, baby, I know we don't understand it, but we better be thankful there's a man standing between us and hell. Hallelujah. Come on. You need to make a commitment right now. You need to make a commitment right now. I'm standing behind my man of God. I'm standing behind my man of God. I'm standing behind my man of God. Come on, church. Come on. I'm not going to be thrown. I'm not going to go sideways. I'm standing behind my man of God. Come on, you need to move right now in the Holy Ghost. You need to move right now in the Holy Ghost. Come on, Daddy, you need to move right now in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Church, it's not enough. It's not enough to hear the preaching and to clap your hands and to say amen. Yeah, I agree with that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And not go home and live it. Amen. I know I've told the story, but I feel it in the Holy Ghost right now. We were little kids. My mother took us to church, my sister and I. My dad hadn't prayed through yet. And every night we would leave, she drove a white Nissan. We lived in BB, Arkansas. From where we went to church, it was over an hour drive one way. We would get in the car. She would turn on B98.5, Delilah. Man, them butterfly kisses. That was the deal. Right down the road with Mama. Listening to Butterfly Kisses. Oh. I remember the night we got in the car and Mama didn't turn on B98.5. Delilah. And I remember saying, Mama, I was in the car. I was waiting on the music. My goodness. B98.5. It's Delilah. I remember saying, Mama, are we going to listen to Delilah tonight? She said, we're not going to listen to Delilah anymore. Mama, why? It's Delilah. It's Butterfly Kisses. How are we not going to listen to Delilah anymore? Can I get to where... Mama, this is family tradition. This is what we do. Mom, why are we not going to listen to Delilah tonight? She said, because tonight, Brother Holmes preached against ungodly music. And we're not going to listen to anything that ain't Christian anymore. You talk about a baby's world crumbling. How are we not going to listen to Delilah? Mom, I don't understand. You know, Mama probably didn't understand that night either. But boy, I understand it now. Talking to a dad right now. It's confusion in your family because your babies hear what's preached from this pulpit. They're hearing it. And they're trying to reconcile in their little minds why pastor says it and daddy doesn't do it. Daddy still claps his hands and daddy still runs the aisles. Daddy still lifts his hands and daddy still looks like everything's all right, but pastor's saying not to do it and daddy's doing it at home. It's confusion. And And then babies are going to grow up with a spirit of confusion. I heard my dad again tell the story the other day. We used to listen to Ray Stevens when we were kids on tape. I don't remember. The memory, it's not there. But I've heard my dad say it over and over. We went to Branson. Ray Stevens had a show. We had listened to him on tape. So my dad bought tickets to the Ray Stevens show. And we went to the show in Branson. Like I said, I don't remember it. Story goes, just a few minutes in, he was so perverse and crass in that show that my dad gets up with my mom, my sister, and myself, and he walks out of the show that he paid for. Story goes, he took us to the hotel. I don't remember this. He sat us down in the hotel and he said, "Babies, Daddy is sorry for taking you to that." That's not pleasing to God. That's not what we believe. And I'm sorry, I didn't know. And it won't happen again. I'm telling you, there's some people in this church right now. You need to go to your house and you need to start cleaning and you need to apologize to your family. I'm telling you, you need to take some accountability and say, I know this was wrong. And I'm sorry. I'm telling you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. You need to go clean some stuff out of your closet and out of your living room and out of your console and off of your radio. And you don't need to just slip it under the rug like nothing happened. Because you didn't do it under the rug like they've watched you do it. And they're confused. If you want your babies to make it to heaven and not be confused, not have a spirit, Satan is the author of confusion. My prayer is this, and I'm done, we're going to pray. My prayer is that when Pastor drives into Hot Springs tomorrow night, he feels a different spirit when he enters this city. My prayer is that something shifts in this house tonight to where when he drives into the city tomorrow night, he can feel a difference. From a group of people, I'm not over you. I'm one of you. I'm a saint just like you are in this church. I operate in this position while he's out of his position. He puts me here. When he comes back, I sit on a pew just like you do. And I submit to what he says, just like you should. Even when I don't understand it. Imagine if he came back to a church of 150 people that said, "Pastor, you can preach anything to me. If you're in the Holy Ghost, Pastor. If you're looking out for my best interest, Pastor. If you're praying, Pastor. You're looking out for me. I'm going to stand behind you. I'm not fighting against you anymore." Amen. We've got enough of a fight from the devils of hell in this city. Let us not be divided one against another and divided pulpit against pew and pew against pulpit, and singer against musician and saint against saint. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one place and they were in one accord. on, I want you to get your family by the hand right now. Come on, Daddy, get your babies. Get your babies. As for me and my house, as you continue to pray, I'm going to read a scripture right now. The Bible says, "Seest thou not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough to make cakes to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto other gods, that they may provoke me to anger." It's a family affair to worship and serve a God. It takes daddy, it takes mama, it takes babies. Come on, come on. Every member of the family right now making a decision. I'm gonna do my part to live for God in this household. I'm gonna do my part to live for God in this household. Come on, I want you to pray until something starts to break in your family right now. Until there's a spirit that starts to come over you. Come on, until there's a spirit of humility, of thanksgiving, that says, "Thank God you put me under a man of God."